We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Bears lose to the New Orleans Saints 24-17, and we get the chance to discuss it. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Fantastic lineup today on The Score. Olin Kreutz joins Mully and Haw at 7 o'clock. DJ Moore jumps on with the guys at 8, and then Dan Reederer hangs out at 8:40. Then Bernstein and Holmes come through. Anthony Heron jumps on with them at 11. Josh Schrock, the Schrocker, he from NBC Sports Chicago, he jumps on at 12. And then Kurt Warner, Mark Grody, Jalen Johnson join Parkins and Spiegel at 2:44 and 5 p.m. respectively. Make sure you guys are here for that. It's going to be a great one. But right now, I'm here for my third shifters. I'm here for the overnighters. I'm here for the people that really got something to say. They might not get through during the day, but my phone lines are open, and I most certainly am trying to talk to you about this game. I need somebody to talk to about this damn game, and I can't talk to Tyler for 5 hours. So, again, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Let's go out to Fabian on the south side. Fabian, what up?
Gabe, mi hermano, ¿cómo andas?
Dímelo, ¿qué crees de Eberflus? What do you think about him?
Hey, man, before I get to my point, Gabe, I just wanted to thank you, man. Your motivation, your inspiration, not just to me, but to hundreds and thousands of Latinos here in Chicago, man. I've been listening to you since the B96 days. Now that you're on The Score, whatever I'm doing, I have to listen to you. So thank you, man. Thank you for everything you do.
I appreciate it, man. It means a lot. You know, I'm definitely out here just trying to show everybody that, you know, us Latinos, we could do whatever. We just like everybody else. We do anything out here, man. So I appreciate you saying that. Because just like you, Fabian, I like music and I like the Bears. And that's why I'm out here like everybody else. So tell me what you saw, man, in this game yesterday.
Bro, we love the Bears, man. We love the Bears. We don't want to see what we've been seeing for the past, 20, 30 years? the only way we're not going to see what we're seeing, we got to get rid of Eberflus, man. We're just prolonging the inevitable. He's not going to be here when we're a contending team, when we're ready to win a Super Bowl, when we're ready to go into the playoffs. So why keep him around? Might as well get a coaching staff that's going to develop these players, that's going to pick their own players from the draft. Why keep these guys around? You're just prolonging the inevitable. And just like you, man, I'm a big soccer fan as well. Bayern Munich, if Bayern Munich sees their coaching staff, they don't feel the team. They don't have the love for the jersey. They're going to get rid of them. Why keep Eberflus around, prolonging the inevitable?
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. But, like, you can remember, you know me, Fabian. You listen to this show. Yeah. I'm about solutions, not problems, right? So I understand your solution in the short term is, you know, bring someone who respects the jersey, loves the jersey. But but what do you feel like Eberflus is doing that's so wrong that you don't like?
It's not that he's doing something wrong to hurt us. It's that he doesn't know what to do right. That's the thing. He's never been a coach in the NFL to say, I know the situation. I have the experience to overcome this. I can beat the Saints coming down or being behind in the scoreboard. I can beat them. He doesn't know how to do that. The players are going to lose faith in him. The staff, the organization is going to lose faith in him. The fans already lost faith in him. So what's the point of keeping him around? Nobody wants anyone to get fired.
Yeah, I hear that, Fabian. And because look, here's the thing, right? Like, do I think he's the best coach? No, right? But do I think, like, we have to be fair and saying, like, every single week, right, not just one week, but every single week we watch the Bears play, the team that they're facing has significantly more talent than the Bears. That is without a question, right? Like, you just look at the line, you look at the offense, the defense, you're just like, damn, the Bears, the players, they suck compared to the other team. So it's hard to give Eberflus, like, a complete evaluation, just like Justin Fields, right? They're like, oh, we need to see him play the rest of the year before we know if, like, we're going to rock with him for a couple more years, right? And I think the same thing goes for Eberflus. Like, is he the best? No. But does he have even, like, like even like a little bit of talent to work with to make, you know what I mean, to be able to see what he got. He's making the defense better. That's for certain. He's calling the plays now. Defense looks better than it has in the last 2 years under Eberflus, right? So now that he's got a hold of it, it looks good. The offense still looks the same, right? It's stagnant. It's not performing at a high level. But again, I think that's where the talent comes into play. There's they don't have a top 15 quarterback. You know, the running game, obviously Dante Foreman's playing well, but he wasn't even there at the beginning of the season. So maybe we could say that they're doing a poor job of evaluating talent. Maybe that's a better assessment of it, right? And maybe that's where a change might come in. Like, who's telling these guys, you know, where they should be drafted, who they should be bringing in? But I don't know. I think we still have some time, Fabian, before we can.
I feel you, Gabe. I feel you with everything you're saying. But I just think he needs that little bit of experience to know, hey, I can do this. I can come back from being behind in this game. I can win this game. And let the players know, hey, we're behind, but we can win this game. I don't know, man, but you also mentioned at some point we got to get away from this gray area. We got to spend money. We got to get rid of this draft capital. However you got to do it, you got to do it, man. We can't take this for another 20, 30 years that we can't win this division, man.
Yeah. We
can't even go to the playoffs in this division that doesn't have an Aaron Rodgers, a Brett Favre, a quarterback that always owned us.
Yeah.
This is our time. We got to do something.
Got to do something. Fabian, I appreciate the call, man. Always call in when I'm on. All right, brother. I love talking to you. But you're right, though. I think that, you know, in those situations, I mean, we got to get out of the gray area as a team, as a fan base, as an organization. Who are we? Right? It can't be what is intolerable is having an outlier of a season every decade, or having the occasional flash in the pan season where the Bears are okay. Just think about it. With Nagy, they had one good season and they sucked, right? So you have a flash in the pan year. You know, Lovey gets his 10. John Fox even had a decent season once. You know, so it's like but it's inconsistent. The Bears aren't constantly in the playoff hunt, even 3-4 years in a row. Like, when does that happen? Like, we want to get there. We've already sucked as bad as sucking can be. Now let's get on the other side of it. And I don't know. Maybe the answer is the new coach. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. But maybe that is the answer. But I would much rather focus on bringing in more talent. Bring in more talent. Let Eberflus try to coach those guys. And then if he sucks when he has a handful of talent, then we can move on from a guy like Eberflus to take the Bears to the next level. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767, man. I'm trying to talk to you about these Bears because I got a lot on my chest. Let's go to Scott out in Chicago. Scott, I know you're from Chicago. We're all from Chicago. What side of town are you from, bro?
Southside, bro.
Shout
How you doing, Kay? Good morning.
Shout out to Southside. Good morning, Scott. So talk to me about your thoughts on the Bears, man.
I was just talking to your producer, Tyler, and the first thing I talked to him about was fundamentals, man. They like blocking and tackling skills.
Right.
Seriously. And I told him also, the way I feel right now, Joliet Catholic could beat the Bears.
Ouch.
Seriously. I mean, they got, you know, big linemen. And that's another thing. They need a consistently healthy, strong, especially offensive line that can actually protect whoever's a quarterback. You know, Whitehair's been banged up. All these other guys are banged up. Get rid of them, man. They've been in the league for a few. Trade them, whatever. I also told him, I think Harbaugh's days at Michigan are numbered in regards to this scandal, whatever's going on. And it would be nice to have him back. Because I think he does have love especially for the city, for the team, for the players, and he might want to bring some of that offensive line that he's got. That most of those guys are going to get drafted by the NFL, both his offensive line and defensive line. But it's just frustrating to see guys that keep making stupid penalties and instead of making positive yards going forward, they get negative yards going back from all the stupid penalties, and they cannot block and tackle, man.
Yeah,
and I told him also, this is my last thought, metaphorically, except for Cairo Santos and Tyson Bagent, I think an improvement for the Bears would be a bus or a plane crash, metaphorically. You know, and I'll leave it alone.
Thanks for the call, Scott. That's a little too dark for me and my liking over here. But I hear what you're saying. And it is that pretty much you're echoing what I've been saying for the first hour and a half, which is that the Bears are void of talent. You know? And you mentioned Cairo Santos. He missed a field goal. You mentioned Tyson Bagent. He just had four turnovers. Three interceptions, one fumble. And this is after he's watched tape and learned that he needs to protect the football and that he just threw two interceptions the week before. So, I mean, there's some, let me see, who would I keep? If I had to pick, I'll do a top five. This is good. Text in if you'd like to. 312-644-6767. Five players that I would keep. DJ Moore, without question. Tevin Jenkins. For sure you're keeping Tevin Jenkins. He's your nastiest. He's the only starting offensive lineman that did not have a penalty called on him today. I know. Trust me. Sad. Tevin Jenkins, two. On defense, I'm keeping Jack Sanborn.
I was going to say, Gabe, he was awesome today. That was my positive takeaway from the game.
It's just, it's like every game, he's just around the ball.
He's there.
And he's there, and he's so good in the open field.
He's allergic to the football.
No, it'd be the opposite. Because they're allergic would mean like he doesn't want it.
I'm stupid.
I got you. No, you're not. No. I'm here, bro. We're a team.
He's addicted to the football.
There,
how about that?
I'll take that. I'll take that. So we're three deep right now. DJ Moore, Tevin Jenkins. The fact that it's taking that I have to think because I really got
Well, I was going to say, how about two of the linebackers, Edmonds, Edwards, one or the other?
I don't know if I'm necessarily just like, oh yeah, I got to keep that guy. Montez Sweat. There you go.
Ooh.
Even after just one game. I mean, Bears need someone to rush the passer, right? So you're going to need Montez Sweat. That's four. Damn, who
one
am I
more?
Fifth? If you could, I could only keep five. Who would it be? I just took off my shoes. I kicked up my feet. What is going to get? We're going to get comfy in here.
How about Cole Kmet?
No,
no,
nah, not my guy.
He's a beast, though.
Is he?
I like him.
Yeah. He's good. I don't know if he doesn't seem irreplaceable. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think of people like that. Oh, Jalen Johnson.
That's a good pick. That's
Jalen Johnson. Give me, I'm talking about to start your new team with, you know what I'm saying? Five players you would keep to start your new team with. Jalen Johnson, Montez Sweat. Who did I say? Tevin Jenkins, DJ Moore.
And Jack Sanborn.
Dude, I got a squad.
I like that. I like
got
it.
A squad.
Very well-rounded.
And Jack Sanborn's there only to prove that, like, I care about how you practice and how you play. Right? He is the token, like, hey, this guy, there's a lot of people that could have been that fifth spot instead of Jack Sanborn, but you got to play, you got to outgrind Jack Sanborn to get Jack Sanborn's spot.
Which is going to be hard to do.
And that's a hard to do. It's like trying to say you want to outgrind me. It's hard.
But genuinely, Gabe, I was going to bring this up at some point. I loved the way he played today. That was my biggest positive takeaway from the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course. Listen, you love a guy that can step in for Tremaine Edmonds, who was dealing with, you know, some lower leg issues and can not replicate, but can get damn near close. And that's what you love about Jack Sanborn. From the 509, someone texted in and said, Braxton Jones.
Interesting.
Jalen Johnson, Darnell Mooney, Tyson Bagent is better than Jordan Love. I hope that's not your fifth player. One, two, three. He only did four. All right. Oh, Andrew Billings. You would keep Tyson Bagent as your top five? That's rough, Mr. 509.
That's risky.
That's really risky, Mr. 509. But I like it, though. If you have any, if you have your five, your starting five, your five you would keep, I'd love to hear it. 312-644-6767. It is Gabe Ramirez. It is 670 The Score. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, taking your phone calls, chatting about this Bears loss. So much to discuss. Phone lines are open. Got a couple more open for you if you're riding around. You want to chat Bears with me? Let's go to Marvin. Marvin, again, you're from Chicago, but what side of town?
South side.
South side, Marvin. I you know what it is? I always do that because I feel like, Marvin, when I used to work on a different radio station, people call in and they'd be like, oh, it's Lisa from Chicago. And I'd be like, bro, if you're calling me, we're all from Chicago. Like, this is a Chicago radio station. Tell me what side of town so I could, we could let people know. You know, they like to know that people are calling in from where they're from. But Marvin,
what side of town I was from, though?
Yeah. So let's talk about the Bears draft picks and how they can contribute to the success of this team. What do you think the Bears should be doing?
So I was listening to the After the Game show earlier, and one caller called in and said, why don't we trade the first or the second pick or the second or the third pick for more draft capital? Like when they traded 3 first rounders for Khalil Mack, when they traded 3 first rounders to move up to get Mitch Trubisky. Why can't we do that? And so we still don't know what we have in Fields. We know he's flashed some great games from there, and he does hold the ball too long. But there's some talent there. There's some talent there. So, I mean, just to get the right person to extract that talent from him and surrounding with more draft capital, because I just feel like I watched Caleb Williams this past weekend. I don't know. And then we're starting over again. I don't know if he's a second coming of anything. And he holds the ball quite a bit of time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the right thing? Or, and by the way, Darnell Wright, the right tackle, he should have been in your top 5, too.
But would you rather have Darnell Wright or Tevin Jenkins? Assuming both would be healthy.
I'd rather have Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, that's
if what that's the case. Yeah. But yeah, I'm saying if he can compile from these two picks, 6 more first round draft picks, what's wrong with giving Fields another year?
Well, the problem is, and this is something that I talked about a lot, Marvin, is just that Justin Fields, regardless of, you know, and I do have a follow up question for you. Justin Fields just isn't a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, right? And so you said, you know, there's talent there. That is without question. We all see Justin Fields is talented. The issue is the lack of consistency with that talent, right? And then my question to you would be, because the words you used were someone to extract that talent from him. My question to you would be, how much more talent do you think there is to extract?
Well, the way that the line has blocked today, and I think I heard you say this earlier, I actually thought the Bears would have won that game today if Fields.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, the Bears would have won that game with Justin Fields on the center.
I mean, I was like, there were some plays, even the ones that Bajan had run. I thought he could have, if that were Fields, he could have broken.
Yeah. He would have ran past the safety instead of at him. Right?
So those are the things that I'm talking about. Just get to get away and get a chip on his shoulder, as I heard you say earlier, one of the callers. Yes, he does. I think he wants to show people I can do this my way. And we all have to be flexible in our jobs. I don't care what you do for a living. And that's up to Coach Eberflus to let him know, hey, we got to go with what's working as opposed to this. They rolled Bajan out today. They perform well. Every time they roll either one of those gentlemen out, they do pretty well. It's when they get away from it and try to force both of them in the pocket, that's when we start having problems. And maybe Bajan's arm strength does have something to do with it. I don't know. The short passes aren't going to get anybody anywhere. Mm-hmm. You've got to stretch the field at some point. And I believe Fields can do that maybe just a little bit better than Bajan. I'm not saying Fields is the answer because, you know, I've been off the boat sometime too, but there are times there was a stretch last year for 6 to 8 games that if the defense were on point, it may have been a different season.
Oh yeah.
Because he was putting up 30 points a game and they were still losing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all his fault.
Well, Marvin, that's why I said, like, if the Bears defense was top 15, you know, then you could have made a good argument for them to be, you know, near or close to, you know, above 500. But the issue there is, like, the defense couldn't put it together, right? They didn't have enough yet. And maybe the Alvin Williams wasn't the answer as a defensive coordinator. But you're right. I mean, the defense would have played right. You know, at least we could have, like, if Justin Fields would have been healthy and the defense would have been playing the way it is right now, like, at least you could
make a better assessment.
Yeah, and you'd be positive about the team. You know, you'd be much more positive about the team. And even if you thought that Justin Fields wasn't going to be the quarterback of the future, you at least were saying, like, the Bears unequivocally are headed in the right direction. Where now, you're still in that gray area because you're not sure, like, what their next moves are going to be.
I'm undeniably correct. But earlier, you did say you felt like they were moving in the right direction.
No, I do think they are. I think they are moving.
And I feel the same way with what I've seen. And I still think the jury is out on Fields. Now, I know I listen to you. You've been a little hard on them.
Hard or real, Marvin? Hard or real?
Real.
Okay.
Because he has made some mistakes that he shouldn't be making. But I think it was last week, the Packers coach just said the same thing about Love. When after week one, they thought he was the one.
Right.
But the jury is still out. And he's been in the league 3 years. He just hasn't been playing. And he's been playing behind one of the best ever and learning.
Yeah.
Fields hasn't had anyone to learn from, certainly not Nagy at all.
Yeah, but I would say, like let's say with Jordan Love, right? Like, the jury ain't out. The jury's back. They got their guilty verdict. Like, he ain't it. Like, he is not that guy. Like, I think everyone can, like, that's the thing, right? Like, in the present, Marvin, you have to say things like, hey, yeah, we're still assessing and we're still doing this. Because you can't come out and be like, nah, this dude ain't it, right? Like, you can't say that in the middle of the season. So, like, they have to say things like that about Jordan Love when they know damn well that at the end of the season, or next year, Jordan Love, at least I hope not for the Packers' sake, Jordan Love is not going to be the starting quarterback, or shouldn't be for that matter, right? And I think with Justin Fields, I think he still has the like, I think no matter what, they know that Jordan Love's not, they do. But Justin Fields can still win some hearts over. Where, like people have come to their final assessment on Justin Fields, like myself. But, like, Justin Fields can still do the whoop-de-whoop. You know what I mean? And come out, dominate on Thursday against the Panthers, right? A bad team. Same way Bajan did against the Raiders. Do that. Then I think they go on a bye after that. Is that right? They go on a bye after that? Right, then they go on their bye, and then they have to face, like, Detroit a couple times, and then, like, but if Justin Fields messed around and beats Detroit, not the bye week, they go Carolina, Detroit, then Minnesota. So if Justin Fields comes out and goes 3-0, which is very possible, right? You beat Carolina for sure. Josh Dobbs, you're looking at your doppelganger, and you're trying to figure out, am I better than my doppelganger, Joshua Dobbs, against Minnesota? And then Detroit is the game that you really got to look at and be like, can you put it together? The defense is playing better, right? You get your warm-up. It's like a boxing match, right? You get your warm-up match against Carolina, and then you go face the title, you know, to try to get the title against Detroit. And you could do it. You could shock the world. And then
you can.
And God forbid you – not God forbid, but damn. And then you win three in a row because Minnesota, they're an injured, wounded duck. And then you win three in a row. Now you change the narrative in Chicago. I still don't think you're a top 15 quarterback, but at least now – you change public opinion and you make people think, like, oh, damn, we were wrong. Again, you know how it is in Chicago, Marvin. People are topsy-turvy. Now everybody's back in on Justin Fields if he wins three straight. Don't you think that'll be the case if he pulled off three?
I believe that. Earlier you said Fields was Dobbs. You really think he's not better than Dobbs?
I think him and Josh Dobbs are they're the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah, when I heard you say that on the radio, I was like, oof.
I said that since the beginning of the season.
You did? I didn't hear it early. I just heard it today. I was like,
yeah. God. I was telling my producer, Tyler, can I get a cosign over there? I've been saying Justin Fields equals Josh Dobbs.
Oh, yeah. You said that from the beginning of the year.
But here's the thing, though, Marvin. I got the little NFL app, so I get to watch all the games, little 30-minute condensed versions. And so I'm watching Josh Dobbs at Arizona, just, you know, checking out what they're doing over there. And I'm like, damn, this looks eerily similar to Justin Fields, a guy with great arm strength. You know, he can use his legs when needs be, but sometimes just, you know, can't put it all together, right? Like, consistently. And who does that sound like? That sounds like Justin Fields. It sounds like Justin. But look, But look, but Justin Fields can do what he did, what Josh Dobbs did this yesterday, right? He can come in and win a game for you. Justin Fields can win in the NFL. It's just a matter of doing it consistently enough, and that's what I think we ultimately have an issue with. Marvin, I appreciate the call, man. I always enjoy talking to you. I like good football conversations. This is why I don't mind doing the overnight shift, because I could get real football people that got really good opinions. Marvin, that was a great conversation. I could have that. I could do that every week. But I want to take more of your phone calls. I want to have more Marvins jump on and talk to me about your thoughts about the Bears so that we can have a nice, healthy conversation about the organization, because I love them just as much as you do. There's a lot of people on this station, you know, throughout the day that'll just be angry and talk about. But I have love in my heart for this team, and I want to talk to you about it. So the phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. My name is Gabe Ramirez, and I have a, what is it? The first step is admitting you have a problem. My name is Gabe Ramirez, and I have a problem. I love the Bears too much, and I still watch every Sunday. Even though, like, think about this game. It was, like, pointless. This is such a pointless game. Week 9, Bears are going into the game, 2-6, playoffs not happening. Justin Fields, can't even watch him to try to see if he's your quarterback or not. Tyson Bagent, you already know what he is. You know what his ceiling is for that man. Like, it was such a pointless game. And you know where I was watching the game, Tyler? At a birthday party. But here's the best thing. So I went to Etheria Cafe. It's right there on North Avenue, California, in Humboldt Park. So I go to this birthday party. Shout out to Gray. That's whose party it was. And it's me. And the party was at 11:30 after, you know, daylight savings time. So I pull up to this party. And there's probably like 30 parents there. Maybe like 10 men. And five of us are wearing Bears gear head to toe. Because it's 11:30. Party starts at 11:30. Clearly, a Bears fan did not plan this. I was like looking at my wife. I'm like, 11:30? She's like, babe, you don't work today. So you better come to this party. I said, okay, you know what? I understand. So I get to this party. I see five men just depressed because they're not watching the game, just like me. But the difference between me and the men is that I do this for a living. I have to watch the Bears game. I have the best excuse ever, right? So I look like the a-hole dad that doesn't care about their kids because I have two of them. They're just running around in the jungle gym, and I just got my phone out. I'm just watching the Bears game, and I have it on display, and I got the volume up because I'm like, hey, fellas, if anyone wants to, you know, if anyone's not afraid of their wife and they want to come over here and watch this game with me, come sit down next to me. But me, I'm going to watch this game right here on this phone while these kids are playing. So I'm watching it, and then my wife, and then just to put my tail between my legs to end the story, then my wife comes up, she goes, it's time to switch. And I was like, switch what? What does that mean? She's like, it's your turn. I'm like, turn for what? We're at a jungle gym. Let the kids run around. Like, I'm not going to be up under these kids. She's like, well, you've been on your phone the whole time. And then I get to use my favorite line ever. I'm working. I'm working. How dare you? I have to talk about this game later, okay? So I have to watch this thing. While all the other men in the place just rolling their eyes, sad, depressed. It's a good time.
You're doing your job, man.
Doing my job. Hey, I'm working. That's my favorite one.
I'm working.
And I say it like that too. I'm working. How dare you disturb me while I'm working? But I want you to disturb me, all right, in the form of a phone call. I got a couple lined up. There's some phone lines open, so I want to talk to you. 312-644-6767. Bears lose to the New Orleans Saints 24-17. Are you ready to see Fields? Because here's the thing. I just told you. We just looked at the schedule. There's three more games before the bye week. Do you rush Fields back against Carolina so that way you can see him perform in those three games? Or do you give him one more week off so he can have two before the bye week? Do you want to see Justin Fields play on Thursday? Do you think Eberflus should be the coach? There's like so much to talk about. We're going to get into the positives in a little bit too, but again, I'm more so curious about Justin Fields and whether or not you want to see him play on Thursday, or do you think he needs one more week of rest? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez taking your phone calls after the break right here on 670 The Score. And I say it like that too. I'm working. All the way till 5 a.m. I am. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. On a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here. Presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Let's go read some text messages. Somebody said from the 815, all the talent in the world means nothing if you can't read a defense, Gabe. Now, just because you audible at the line, does that mean you're reading the defense properly? Because I felt like Tyson Bagent was damn near doing an audible every time he went up. He would like do that crouching tiger, hidden dragon thing really low to the ground. Then he'd touch his ears like he was. I felt like half the time it was just a decoy. He wasn't really doing it. Because sometimes he got down so low that it looked like he was looking at the center, like trying to talk to the center. It's like, yo, what up, bro? You see me down there? I'm audibling the play, all right? You're right. You do need to be able to read the defense, and that's an issue. From the 509, again, says Justin Fields is the real deal. Eberflus can coach. He just needs to get a new offensive coordinator. Trade out of the number one pick, get more players, and let Fields ball. Unpopular opinion there. Let's see what else. Somebody said, I grew up in Oak Park. Certain blocks gave full candy bars and sodas. That's how you knew you grew up in Oak Park, because you called them sodas and not pop. We do the block, trade costumes, and go back to those several times. That's hilarious. Do the block, trade costumes, and go back to those blocks several times. That's great. I think the Bears need an offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator next season. Depending on Fields' health, if not starting against Carolina, I like to gadget plays utilizing his legs. I got to be honest. Justin Fields, like the whole like, oh, make Justin Fields a gadget guy, that's silly. Silly. He's either a quarterback or he's not. There's no, he's Bayless Jones or he's Taysom Hill. He's way better than Taysom Hill. So it's either he's a quarterback or he's not. It's none of this trick stuff. I'm not here for that. But damn, I do wish he was like how good. Like let's take a look at the NFC North and the quarterbacks in it. Is Justin Fields the best quarterback in the NFC North? Is he better than Jordan Love? Yes. Is he better than Joshua Dobbs? Maybe. Is he better than Kirk Cousins? No. And is he better than Jared Goff in the present? No. So at best, he's the third best quarterback in the NFC North. Not good enough.
That's interesting that you hesitated saying, is he better than his doppelganger, Joshua Dobbs?
What? Like, you know who scoffs at that remark, Tyler? People that have not looked at Josh, have not watched Josh Dobbs play, or have not looked at his stats. That's really all that boils down to. I mean, because if you've watched any of his games, you would agree. It's simple. It's that the guy is literally Justin Fields 2.0. Now, he's bounced around. I didn't realize this. He was in Pittsburgh in 2018 and 2020. I wonder what happened in 2019. Go Google that for me, Tyler. Go figure what the hell happened to Joshua Dobbs in 2019. 2018, he played 5 games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2020, played 1 game. Last year, he was with Tennessee. And then this year, obviously, he played 8 games with Arizona. Let me go through his game log for you. Okay? This is his game log. This year, by the way. First game of the season, 21 for 30, 70% completion percentage, No tutties, no interceptions. They lost by 4 to Washington. Game 2, damn near identical. 21 for 31 with a tutty. Now, it's all the rushing yards. In that game 3, let me start there. Joshua Dobbs, here's his rushing performance by game. 3 for 41, 6 for 55, 12 for 48, 7 for 47, 7 for 43, 6 for 26, 7 for 66. Sounds very similar to Justin Fields. Let me tell you his passing stats for his first 8 games with Arizona. 21 for 30, better than Justin Fields. Game 2, 21 for 31, better than Justin Fields. Game 3, he didn't throw an interception until week 5. Okay? He's thrown, in those first 8 games at Arizona, he's thrown 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. What does Justin Fields have? What do you think? Take a guess without looking at the stats.
I think 11 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Okay. Justin Fields, 11 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So when I say doppelganger, when I'm trying to tell you about Joshua Dobbs, I'm not just coming out of my butt with this stuff. Justin Fields, 100 for 162, 61% completion percentage, 1,200 yards, 11 tutties, 6 interceptions, and then he's rushed for 237 yards. You go to Josh Dobbs, I know it's going to be sickening to see these statistics. You go to Josh Dobbs' summary, his stats on the summary. This season, 1,500 yards more than Justin Fields. He's rushed for 258 yards. What did I say just now, 260? Dude, it's the same stats. I'm not coming up with this out of nowhere. Trust me when I tell you. 10 tutties, 5 picks. 1,000 yard. Like, it's the exact same. Sickening. It's gross. But it should serve as a reminder that, you know, when you're looking, there is elite quarterbacks, and then there's the people in the mushy middle, and then there's bad quarterbacks. Justin Fields is not a bad quarterback. But he most certainly is in that middle. And he is not part of the elite crowd. And that's okay. It's okay. But is it okay where the Bears are at right now? Because the current quarterback, Tyson Bagent, did have himself a game today. Of course, he was 18 for 30. Looked okay in moments. But again, it's just like Justin Fields. You can look okay, but in moments. I need you to look good all the time. 18 for 30, 220, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, a fumble loss despite running 8 times for 70 yards. He did talk to the media following the game. Here's Tyson Bagent.
Tyson, can you take us through your day as far as what was going so well for you through 3 quarters and then what went wrong for you at the end?
I think I did a good job of, controlling the game. I thought we did a good job of controlling the game, managing the play clock, especially with all, the atmosphere that they always tell you about, when you come here to play the Saints. Thought we managed that well, thought we were taking advantage of a lot of things, and then really it just all comes down to myself in that last quarter. Being able to do a better job taking care of the ball. Coach talks about it every single day, how important it is to take care of the ball, and I didn't do a good job of that. So that's basically, it's basically just me there in that last quarter.
What's the diagnosis on the interceptions in the fourth quarter? Both of them in tight coverage, is there something that you misread or just tried to make a throw that ultimately they jumped?
Yeah, I think it was good on their part, bad on my part. Tight coverage. They made a couple really good plays. So hats off to them. But once again, I got to probably just go somewhere else with the ball. So that's on me.
Was it at all a product of just the offense stalling and you just trying to force something, trying to make something happen?
Yeah, I think it was all on me. Forcing a couple plays there, and then you can't afford to take plays off in NFL because it come back to bite you. So, got to be sharp on every play.
Tyson, despite the 5 turnovers, it was just a one-score game. How do you kind of describe
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought our team played extremely well, which is why it's so embarrassing, just because, you know, one score game, lose a turnover battle by that amount, it's embarrassing, but it's part of the game, and I'm just looking forward to building and learning from this experience.
Ben Tyson, if Justin is back next week, and this is kind of the end of this run for you,
I thought I did a lot of good things. I think there's a lot of things that I can also learn from. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm blessed beyond measure. I can't believe the position I'm in. I had an extreme amount of fun with all the guys having my back the way they did. But, you know, for me going forward, you know, nothing changes. I'll continue to prepare as if I'm starting every game. So looking forward to it.
Can you come out of this with a clearer checklist of what you need to work on?
Yeah, of course, of course. Repetition, mother of all learners. The best way to learn is to be thrown into the fire, so to speak. So I take a lot, you know, a lot out of this experience.
If you need to go, if you need to plan Thursday, what do you need to do to just kind of bounce back and
quick
turnaround?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's only one way to, and that's just continue to do exactly what I've been doing preparation wise. I think that's the only thing that there is to do. I don't really know what else I would do. So just continue to do exactly what I've been doing preparation wise. Do a better job taking care of the football.
Did you feel like it was a little bit late on at least two attempts? Do you think that was the contributor?
Which ones?
The one to Tyler, and then the second one, I think, also.
Yeah, I think I was late to the one to Mooney, and I think that I was on time to the one to Tyler. Just good coverage, a little bit behind him, which is all me.
Thanks, guys.
Tyson Bajan right there. I mean, to the point, simple. Very matter of fact, 3.5 minutes, bro. That's too long. Nobody had no follow-up questions for Tyson Bajan. It's like, yeah, we know what you are, bro. You did a mediocre performance, and that's what that is. What did you think about the performance of Tyson Bajan? I mean, Tyler, you were the one that was in here talking about you thought he had a great game. It's okay. You can defend
yourself. I never said great game.
You said he had a great game. You're like, everything outside of interceptions, he should be the starting quarterback instead of Justin Fields.
I never said that.
I'm just playing.
Unfortunately, he made a lot of bad mistakes, but outside of those like game-changing mistakes, there wasn't really a time where I was like, he made a bad play. It was just those four really, really crucial mistakes that dampened. There wasn't anything else bad that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Unfortunately, the four bad ones really stood out like a sore thumb.
Oh, and that's and that sucks because you just it's the NFL. Like I know a lot of people say this isn't Shepherd University.
Yeah.
Can't get away with this stuff anymore.
Yeah, and again, it's like it's no knock on Tyson. It's like what backup quarterback comes in and then you start trashing him? It's a backup quarterback. The expectations are low. You don't sit up there and be like, oh man, it's going down now. Tyson Bajan's in. Just doesn't happen like that.
I think he's playing well for what the overall situation is with the team.
Listen, the bar is low.
Yeah.
To be a quarterback for the Chicago Bears, the bar is low. Are you competent? Can you read a defense? Can you throw a 5-yard out? Can you hand the ball off properly? Like, the bar is low. Because if you can do that, then you're Tyson Bajan. Yeah, you're a guy that can keep you in a game. But listen, this is what I said when Justin Fields went down. Or not even when Justin Fields was down. If the Bears were going to be bad, I was like, F it. Give me Tyson Bajan, because at least that way I know the game's exciting. Right? And I'm not frustrated because I anticipate a loss, but I know he can make it exciting, and it's exactly what he's done. Against the Chargers, I mean, it was just a bad, bad game for him, right? But there were still moments where you felt like, oh, you know, are the Bears going to pull it off? You know, late in the game, you're like, oh, is he going to? So at least you have that. This game against the Saints, you didn't think the Bears are going to win, but damn, they had multiple chances. So again, it was exciting. It was, the NFL is a product, an entertainment product. Just like you go to the movies and you spend $20 to go watch a 3-hour film. The same thing applies for football. They are trying to give you an entertaining product for 3 hours.
NFLE, National Football League Entertainment.
Yeah, NFLE. And that's exactly what they do. And Bajan is doing a good job of that. He's made it entertaining. He's made it watchable. Where there were moments last year where you didn't even want to watch the damn game.
No.
And so this year, I feel like with Bajan under center, you just never know. Against Oakland, hey, bro, you put together a good game. Against the Chargers, you're a little overwhelmed. This week, you set out to prove too much, probably.
I found that 2019 season for Josh Dobbs, if you want to hear it.
Oh, my God, I love this.
So, do you remember 2019? Actually, Ben Roethlisberger suffered a season-ending injury in week 2 of that year.
Okay.
And right before week 1, Dobbs was traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, is that what happened?
After they paid Nick Foles. But he never played because Nick Foles had a season-ending injury.
And they had Gardner Minshew.
And Mason Rudolph ended up playing the rest of the year for Pittsburgh.
So wait, what happened to Josh Dobbs in Jacksonville? He just
didn't play. Gardner Minshew played well enough that I think it was still Doug Marrone said, Minshew mania.
Yeah, Minshew
that was
mania.
That was the peak of Minshew mania.
Yeah, and that's when Foles was getting traded because Gardner had a good year. So that would make sense why Josh Dobbs didn't see the field because there was no need for him to. He was the journeyman backup, but Minshew mania had taken over.
Yes, he will. And could you imagine too if Dobbs played in Pittsburgh, that whole Myles Garrett Brown situation with him slamming the helmet would have never happened.
And then
imagine.
And then he would have taken over for Roethlisberger instead of Rudolph.
Week 2.
And then the story of Josh Dobbs could be a lot different.
And then he was waived by the Jaguars, picked up by the Steelers a year later, and then was placed on IR.
Because he got hurt. Look at that.
Yep. And then he went to the Browns.
Is he really I saw Lawrence Holmes put that out there, that he's a scientist.
Josh Dobbs?
Yeah. He's an actual, I think it's a rocket scientist.
You know what? I think Prime Video did a little segment about that when he was with the Titans last year, that he's something he's something astronautical. I don't know what the term is, but he's pretty smart.
He's a rocket scientist.
Yeah, he's pretty smart.
This is pretty cool. Joshua Dobbs, going into my goal is to get a fully encompassing experience to be an aerospace engineer at NASA. That's what he wants to be. Oh my goodness. That's pretty impressive.
Well, he's got a career aspiration after he retires from football.
Yeah, well, that's what he has an aerospace background. Rocket scientist, Joshua Dobbs. That's impressive.
Look at him.
An aerospace engineer with NASA in 2 separate off seasons. I mean, if you hear him at the podium, he just sounds extremely articulate. So that's interesting. Okay, all right, Josh Dobbs. Hey. Doppelganger, I'm telling you, bro. Josh Dobbs and Justin Fields. I know one seems to be a bit more likable, and I won't tell you who it is.
We're gonna have to find out.
Nah.
Well, all I gotta say is one experienced Minshew mania, the other didn't.
Yeah, well, they experienced the Bajancy.
That's true. That's true.
So the other one, I'm telling you, bro, they're living similar lives, bro. Except one just dealt with much more injuries.
Wow.
From the 630, text in, said Saints defense adjusted, Getsy didn't, and New Orleans secondary is excellent. Times Bajan had time, nobody was open. I'll tell you this before we go to break. Here's a stat that I tried to hammer into the brains of Bears fans before this game. Four of the top 11 cornerbacks in the league in pass deflections play for the New Orleans Saints. Think about that. There are only 4 cornerbacks on your starting roster. Maybe 5 if you're playing nickel. And 4 of them are in the top 11 of pass deflections in the NFL. What does that mean? they're on the ball a lot.
They're ball hawks.
And Tyson Bagent, that's why you saw those passes that were, you know, just not out in front and just enough, and the defenders made you play, pay. Top five in takeaways in the NFL are the New Orleans Saints. Four of the top 11 cornerbacks lead are in the top 11 in pass deflection. It was going to be a long day for him regardless.
Paulson Adebo's got to be one of them. He had two picks.
Adebo was certainly one of them that was in there. Lattimore was in there. Those four of them was unreal. And I talked about it on Bears Unleashed on Fox 32. I talked about it on, where was I on Friday? Oh, I said Bears Unleashed on Fox 32. I was talking about it on The Score. I talked about it here. And I tried to tell anybody that would listen. And sure enough, everything came to fruition and Tyson Bagent paid handsomely. Bears lose to the New Orleans Saints 24-17. It's Gabe Ramirez taking your phone calls. Where are my third crew at? Third crewers? Third shifters at? Jesus. Where are my third shifters at? You trying to talk some Bears football? You got some thoughts about this team? Maybe some ideas about what they should be doing? I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. We're taking your calls after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score.